Marker, what were your nuns season one review, guys? Let's get talking. Action.
What's going on, Alamo City Muay Talk fans? I'm Ryan D, it can only Ryan 680.
I'm Angela, that cat lady, and...
And this is Alamo City TV Talk, guys. This is a TV show, Warrior Nun, ladies and gentlemen, which is what we've been excited for, excited to talk about. We saw it ahead of time. Thank you, Netflix, by the way. So it's a young woman wakes up with a divine artifact in her bag. Who would have thought that, right? Right in her bag. I mean, come on. And gets caught up in a war between heaven and hell. The best reviews coming out here, guys. Stay tuned. You are listening to Alamo City Movie Talk Podcast, the podcast for all cinema lovers. What's going on, Alamo City Movie Talk fans? I'm Ryan D, aka Ryan 680. And this is Alamo City Movie Talk, guys. Movie Talk for movie fans. Bring the movie world right into your ears' devices. Let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. Netflix TV show. Here it is, guys. Heaven and Hell. Who would have thought that, right? I mean, let's get right to it, man. I mean, I'm so excited to be talking about this series. And yeah, so let's get right to it. One of the things that I will say right off the bat was that the comic book was first published in San Antonio.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. So I know when we first did our trailer reaction, I was like, oh, that's so silly.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just like something that just was made up for this particular series. No, it actually has a pretty good fan base. Like you said, it was published in the 90s. In San Antonio.
1994, to be exact.
There's a lot of series behind it, or mangas behind it. So that was actually really interesting to hear and read about.
Yeah.
I do know from what we've researched, we haven't read the manga.
We're
going to clarify that right now.
Yeah.
But we have researched a little bit more.
We get the gist of it.
And so it sounds like the manga, the comics are a little bit different than what this show has to offer.
A lot different, ladies and gentlemen. So we do not follow Shannon. Shannon is followed a lot in the comics. When it was first published in 1994, we do not follow Shannon's story. So I want to clarify that. I do want to shed that light. We do not follow Shannon's story whatsoever in this. But we're not going to mention any spoilers of this review. We're not going to mention any spoilers whatsoever. We're going to leave that towards the end. And we will announce it as many times as we can before we mention spoilers. But let's get right to it. This is a non-spoiler review. Yeah, so, I mean, so 10 episodes, 45 minutes, roughly 45 minutes long. Wow, what a journey. What an adventure this show has really. This show is actually filmed in Spain, which is great. I think that's the perfect set, the perfect setting for this type of genre.
Makes sense because, you know, the order, you know, is a secret warrior nun, you know, coven of the church, Catholic church.
Yes.
So it makes sense that, you know, it's filmed in Europe, you know, where the Vatican's at. So
the cruciform sword. Yeah. This is the best setting. I love the sets. I love the monuments. I love all that. The architect's beautiful over there. We haven't been, sadly, but
we want to go.
Yeah. Wow. So much adventure, so many mixed emotions in this. We fall in love with the characters. At first, let's get right to it. So it has a great intro. We'll say that. Has a great intro, nice and smooth. I love it how it just shows us right into this world already. Shoves us right into it like, hey, this is it. We're going right into it.
It definitely, because it does that, it leaves you with a lot of questions. Like, what's happening? Who are these characters?
Yeah.
Who are these demons? And so that kind of, like, for me, if you can, like, have me questioning and be curious, like, right off the bat, I'm going to follow the show. I need those questions answered. So I think it's a very good way it sets it up.
Yeah.
Like you said, it almost automatically in the first episode, there's a lot of action. And it just entices you. I really like yes. that.
The charisma is just, it's in there, man. I love the chemistry. I love everything about this. When it comes down to the CGI, it was done
yes,
very well.
Very
the
well.
Special effects are done very well, man. Oh, man, so well. I love it because it doesn't look distorted. They look clear. It looks, I mean.
Believable.
Yeah, this is between heaven and hell. Obviously, we're going to see demons and angels and whatnot. So it actually looks very, very done very well. The show creator at Netflix is Simon Barry, and wow, what a great job he has done with this. He stood behind this show, and you know, I give him props for it, because bringing a comic book adaptation into life and changing it up is very hard to do, especially at this time. And also, he did mention as well, I saw an interview that read an article interview that he actually wanted to change the style of Warrior Nun back, because the comic book version is totally different. He wanted to change the womanhood of it. I guess you could say the best way I could describe it. Change her tone, change her, you know, her acting as far as when the comics goes into our current time. What we see women now. And so it was a very different time back then, obviously. And now it's just like, wow. Like, I mean, at first you're kind of like, huh, what is going on? And then it gets you more like, okay, so this is happening. I want us to know more. What does this mean? What does that mean? Oh, wait, that really happened?
And like, I think yeah. also part of, like, that, like, intrigue is also, like, I'm personally not super religious. So a lot of these,
yeah,
it has a lot of religious themes into it. And so that makes me, like, want to look into this beyond yeah. it to understand the themes that it has.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, I'm going to have to say this too as well. This is led by actress. It's going to be Alba Batista. Yeah, what a cool name. I mean, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool name. She's come out in a lot of foreign films / TV shows. And I actually love that. That's a pretty cool name.
As much as I love her, she is the main character, Ava.
Yeah, Ava.
I got to say, I think one of my favorite characters is probably Mary.
Mary, okay.
So it's played by Taya Turner, I believe. I really like her because, I mean, obviously it's a sect of nuns or an order of nuns who, dedicate their lives to
yes.
fighting demons, kind of on the down low. So no one is really going to know who these people are.
Yeah, they're it's a doing secret it, group. Yeah.
Like as a greater power, greater force of good. So I really like her because she doesn't actually fit in with the rest of the nuns. And
yeah.
I really like her character. It's really raw and she actually is one of the ones I think has better development.
Yeah. Okay.
We get to see a lot of her side. I mean, we get to see everyone's side, but yeah, I really enjoyed her story.
You enjoyed her story. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna have to stick with this one. I'm gonna go with Ava. I mean, it's just I love her character because she comes into it as just not knowing anything, not knowing, figuring it out on her own. And she's a 19-year-old girl who's trying to figure out life in general. And it's a whole new different world. It's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new different life in a sense. And I love that about it. Great acting when it comes down to her because she really showed her emotions. I loved it. I love this. There's this one. I'm not going to mention what the scene is, describe it, but it's just there's this one scene that's really emotional and it's really great. And I feel like it's like her acting, but it's so real, and I love that about it. And it's yeah, mix of emotions right there. The setup for all these characters is actually done very well, I would say. I mean, as far as like bringing them together, separating them, bringing into the pieces like a chess game and bringing them right into it where they correspond with each other is done very well when they become this team. And we've seen them become the team in the trailers, and to see that, I was just like, okay, how's this gonna work? And here's the thing, the trailer gives us a different tone. I feel like the trailer didn't give us justice to how good of a show this is.
I gotta admit, as much as I agree with you on that,
yeah.
I liked how the trailer was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's...
Didn't give a lot of...
My peeve with trailers is they give too much. They show all the good parts
yeah.
in the trailer, so you're not surprised when you see it,
yeah.
you know, in a show or in film or whatever. So I really like... You know, like I said... When I first saw it, I was like, this is cheesy. You know, it's going to be so silly.
I know. You were against it. You were totally against it.
I was super skeptical.
Totally against it.
I was like, I don't know if it's going to be great, but
no,
I'll
it's
give
not
it a
gonna,
shot.
It's too world. It's too
cheesy.
Yeah.
Like
it's
warriors
too godly.
And nuns, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, now that I actually saw it, I got to admit, you're right.
Yeah.
The trailers do not do it justice, but I like that. I like how, you know, when I did actually get to see it, it blew me away. compared to what I felt like when I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, most definitely. And then what I also did love and admire was that the episode titles were actually verses from the Bible, which is really good because we're actually looking up all those verses.
We did.
And yeah, I come from a Christian background, so this is very huge in my religion, in my aspect.
I grew up Catholic, but I was not religious.
Let's just say it's a huge eye opener. It's more you connect more especially if you're religious. You connect more to the series in a way, kind of. Of course, it's not real whatsoever. None of it is, but it's just one of the things to where like it makes you connect into. If you love guns and nuns, I mean, here it is. I mean, not to criticize
it. I know you had mentioned, I think about halfway through we had gotten to watch it, and you're like, you know what, this feels like a Buffy.
Yes, I mentioned that. Yeah. It feels like a Buffy series if she found religion.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that so much about it because it has that Buffy feel. I love that. And when it has that Buffy feel, that's how you know it's going to be good. And that's how I know you expect to see more of this. As far as like, you know, just the different characters, Lorena, Andra, you know, the different that played Lilith. I actually liked her as Lilith. I thought she was going to be... underwritten, like what I mean is that like written off or like just like whatever.
No, I character. Felt like she was gonna be an important character when I first saw her, but I liked her character because I thought that she was gonna be she's gonna turn out different than what she did. So I liked how we saw that change in her character as you know the story went on. So it surprised me, but I really liked her character. I really liked the actress who played her.
Yeah.
I liked all of the team. Like you said, there's a team that forms. Each one of them is different.
Yeah.
And they somehow are very cohesive together. You know, they each bring something different to this team, and I really liked seeing that. I think different personalities. Had really great chemistry together.
Yeah.
It was very believable. They're all friends. And I really liked the actresses who came and performed. I think they did very well.
Yeah, Netflix spared no expense when making all this, everything, the whole all behind the scenes and everything. I love that about it. I'll say that. Also, you know, the direction of this movie, the story arc. So there's a main story, but also I like how they did like kind of like a side story kind of deal, which I loved because it gave us a minute, a size of a break. Into we're not going to mention it, what episodes or anything like that. You'll figure it out on your own. But it does show and share a little bit of light into what the Warrior Nuns do. And I love that about it because it gave us a little break from the main plot and it gave us a more story, more arc. Because let's be honest, you could have probably cut it less than 10 episodes. But the way they did it and everything, the way it was, the way it was filmed, the way it was edited, I think it's 10 episodes is good. It's a solid season.
I feel like I agree with you. I will have to say I didn't like the way it ended, but as far as putting more
into it, we'll talk about that.
Putting more into it as far as more episodes or making the episodes longer, I don't know what they would have put in there. So it wouldn't have made sense to me to put more story because I feel like at that point it would make it dragging.
Yeah. Okay. I see you there. It does, like I said, it does show a little bit of a side story there halfway through the season. But yeah, so... okay, another good thing I'm going to mention too, you know, the science behind everything or like the, you know, science and religion. I love how they correspond with this nonsense to each other and how science was attacking, you know, religion and all that stuff. Shed a lot of light in that.
So there's definitely animosity, you know, in today's world about science. Even current times,
yes.
So, I mean, we see a lot of those elements in there, like how, especially in, you know, the city where the Vatican is at. It's definitely very prominent. The church, very powerful, influential.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a character who's super into science, and then you have them going against, like you said, the church. So I liked seeing that little mini war.
I love, pretty cool. You know, I love it when, you know, I love it when they're getting ready for war. They're getting ready. The music's pumping. They're getting all the, you know, the equipment, all the guns.
The choice of music, it was definitely different.
Different. Oh, yeah.
But
very different.
It went pretty well with the scenes that occurred.
I could say that. Scenes. Yeah, I could say that. It's a straight, you know, straightforward kind of deal where, like, it's just one of those type of, you know, those bad movies, man. Those bad, good movies. That, you know, get ready for action, man. Because who wouldn't want to see a nun with a gun, right? Who wouldn't want to see that? So, I just again, it does have we'll say this. It does have a shift in change of story. And the season, what did you think of the season finale for this? I mean, we're not going to mention spoilers yet. So,
like I mentioned before, because I'm not super religious. I may not know too much about, you know, the stories of the Bible, the characters. I feel like that made me question a lot more of the season finale. I kind of thought I understood what was going on up until the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the last episode left me with more questions, which I guess is a good thing.
Because it's a good thing. Oh, yeah.
It makes you want
more.
Like I said, I'm a very, like, closure kind of person, so mm-hmm. I need answers. So I can't wait for the new season, or hopefully there's a new season.
Yeah.
Because I need, if there's no new season, I will be very upset. Because I need those questions answered.
And ever since, and it's a good thing you mentioned that too, ever since Marvel left, you know, the Netflix house, and, you know, they have their own streaming service, Disney Plus, Netflix is doing a lot of these more comic book, low budget comic, comic book adaptations of American comics and everything, not just DC and Marvel.
Yeah, something that's not, or that may that's not be copyright, as familiar or common.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone knows DC
comics. It doesn't have a huge fan base, but there is a fan base there, I'll say that. And after this, they will be a fan base, guaranteed. I think they will.
I think this will definitely open the door to people. Like I would be interested in reading the comics, the mangas. So I definitely think it will have a lot of people do the same thing. They'll look up and look for these stories in
most
the comics.
Definitely. Agreed. There's a few quotes that I want to mention from this series that really stuck out to us, I would say, mainly that I really did love, and one of them was that faith is based on what cannot be proven. I love that, you know, that little few quotes that, and then a lot of times they said this in this series, in this season one, and I'm gonna say it a lot more. It's almost like, you know, this is the way, like Mandalorian, like it's just in this life or the next.
That's a pretty good slogan.
And it's divine will. I like that. You know, all that old English texture and everything. I love that about this series alone, and also the creativity behind it between heaven and hell, because, you know, it talks about, you know, just a lot of different aspects of the Bible and everything. And I love that about it. So ratings, I'm going to have to give this a solid 7. I give this a solid 7. I really did enjoy it. I'll just say that. Yeah, solid 7.
I would probably give it an 8 because I could see myself watching this again.
Yeah.
Again, the way it left off, but not just because it left off.
Yeah.
But because it was so good, I think, in my opinion, I do want to, hopefully, if there is a second season, I do want to see it. I can't wait for it if it comes out. So I liked all the acting, the stories for all the characters. Mary's my favorite. The different twists that we saw, you know, especially in the season finale. I thought we were very interesting. We were done pretty well.
Yeah.
I kind of called it, though.
On some things, but
which I'm very happy about.
Good tone, yeah.
But overall, I think it was very interesting. Kept my attention, my interest into it. So pretty consistently throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give it a solid 8 because I think it was done really well.
Yeah, and then also I'll say this too. I mean, just the attitude alone for this series, for this whole season, was great. It was on point. The tone of this whole season was very well. You know, I'm gonna give this a 9. Screw it. I'm gonna give it a nine. I'm gonna go higher because the more I think about it, the more I'm enjoying it, and the more I realize that Lilith is probably my favorite character now because we won't mention it. We won't mention why. Yeah,
she's badass.
Yeah, she's bad.
She,
yeah,
she is.
How bad? No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get right to it, guys. So we're going to talk about spoilers.
Spoilers,
guys. We're going to be talking about spoilers.
So if you don't want to be spoiled, stop right here.
Yeah, be sure to check out our other reviews. Below. Yeah.
Check out the other reviews.
Leave us a thumbs up, by the way, before you leave.
Watch the series and rewatch this section, little section afterwards.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. So to start off the spoiler section, what do you want to... What comes to mind? What do you want to talk about?
So let's get talking into the Divinium.
Divinium.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Let's get talk about that armor of Adriel.
Okay. So that's one thing in the season finale. We find that, you know, his armor was smelted into Divinium.
Yeah.
It's super rare in modern times where this is set. Where did he get it from? Like, there's so many questions, especially around the last episode.
Yeah.
My biggest question with the divinium, like, where did he get it from?
Yeah.
Like,
not just that, but how is it feeding? It's connected to him. He mentions it in the very last episode of the season finale.
And how is that?
And how is it talking? Is it talking to him telepathically? Is it able to feed him all this knowledge? Because he says it even in the season finale that when it exchanges hands, he gains that knowledge.
Yeah.
So he knows what's going on.
So if divinium is like a metal, how is he connected to this?
Yeah,
like where did he get it from? Where is he from? How is he able to get all this information? I know he mentioned it's in a in one of the scenes, it kind of like it's like a puzzle, but there's missing pieces, so he doesn't necessarily understand fully what's going on. Like you said, when he exchanges and he can kind of get a little bit of information from modern times, mm-hmm. but there's just so many questions just around Adriel himself, so not just his divinium. Like, my biggest question, you know, throughout the whole season, we've been fed led to believe he's an angel. And he basically sacrificed himself for Ariella, one of the first warrior nuns.
Yes.
To save her. And he was no longer an angel. He became mortal and died. And his bones were buried. And that's the whole premise. Trying to get his bones. And to find out he's alive.
Yeah, the whole time.
The whole time, trapped in this tomb by men.
And he's the key to where, they even mentioned throughout the season too, is that this is the key to opening, this is why the demons are coming.
Right, so what is he?
What is he? And they mentioned it too, Ava says it at the very end, right before the last 10 minutes of the episode of the season finale, is that he says he's a devil.
Even in the flashback, when Adriel is showing Ava the flashback of him and Ariella after he saves her, he tells her, "I'm known to what your people call me as an angel."
An angel.
But she looks at him and she's like, "You're no angel."
Yeah.
And he even says it. Keep it a secret between us. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I won't take that halo I gave you back. So keep it between us.
So did he steal the halo? I mean, so many questions come into mind that don't get answered in the season. That's probably answered maybe in the comics. I don't know. But it's not answered in the season one of Netflix show. But I don't know if that's on purpose. It has to be, at least.
It has to be on purpose because, again, the way it ended, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
It leaves it... If Netflix doesn't come out with season two, I will be very upset. Because
it
literally is in the middle of something and it ends.
They have with Santa Clarita Diet.
But that was I'm really second hoping that it has enough ratings, has enough popularity to where...
I think it will.
I think it will too. So I just hope that, you know, this continues.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be very upset if it doesn't.
Yeah. So I'll say this as well. I love Ava. Whenever she first put on the nun outfit, she was just like, I was like, dang. So she finally put it on. She finally put on her costume or whatever, you know, the hidden costume in another costume. So I love that about this. And I just, that was pretty cool to see. Now going back into the facts of this, I was just like, okay, I know you noticed it. You know, it's Vincent. So Vincent's the father, the head father in the warrior nuns. He's the protector
of the whole thing. He's kind of like
the guy in charge.
He oversees the OCS.
The warrior nuns, yeah.
So I called it from the very, I think, episode 2 or 3. I don't know. I don't remember what scene, but I think I remember turning to you and be like, what if Vincent was the bad guy? Or what if he's the one that did this? And then we're like, oh, haha, that's so silly. And then we see more scenes where he reveals his past with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't always a priest. You know, he did have a past. You know, he has tattoos.
Yeah.
So obviously he knows some shady people and that helped their mission overall. So we do see he has a bad past. And he kind of reveals a little bit to Mary when they have like a heart-to-heart kind of...
Mm-hmm.
But I know, it's just something about it. He was too nice and too...
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I saw it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I saw it. I think it was just so easy for the Cardinal Duretti.
Yeah.
How they were so quick to like say...
It's to Cardinal, judge. Yeah.
Yeah, judge him, accuse him, to make the pieces fit together. It was just so easy. I was like, this can't be it. I know that's the way like villains go in movies. It's so obvious.
So easy,
But it was just too obvious in my opinion. So I kind of saw a little bit of it, but I wasn't quite sure. So I liked that. It kind of made me doubt myself. Like, is this, could we be wrong about what the show has been leaning towards? Like, maybe Duretti isn't the bad guy mm-hmm. this whole time. Maybe it's someone, you know, mm-hmm. they did mention it was an inside job, so who else yeah. could it be? So that exactly. that was my whole take. I liked that. It kind of, even though it was obvious to me, it made me doubt myself.
Yeah. No, yeah, guaranteed. Another thing that, you know, I just, you know, I didn't see that. I'll admit it. I did not see that whatsoever. I felt like it was him. I felt like I wanted it to be him. Now that we saw, spoilers, but like, when he became the Pope, I was just like, okay, it made me more convinced that it was him. But then but I was all like, oh, why am I not surprised he became the Pope? Now he's going to be the evil guy. But come to find out, he was actually really, it seems now that he was actually protecting, or was he? Was he? Maybe in season two, we'll find out he's actually influenced by
a devil. There's so many theories you can go with this. But I just think he was trying to do what he thought was right. Yeah. It was wrong. I think part of I don't want to say Duretti is this holy super nice super I think he has like ulterior motives that he wants him himself is it's his best interest, and I think he's working on that or working like that's his number one and I don't really think he cares too much about others, like the Pope is supposed to care more about others. But
another fun fact with divinium is that it's actually an element with supernatural powers that is found in holy relics. So not only, I'm just curious to see what other stuff is actually made with that.
Do you think that's possible?
Which could feed, because I would think the crosses that the, you know, that the, I mean, it could be so many things. We didn't really see anything in this season that really showed us like, oh, hey, by the way, all the cardinals, whatever, you know, all the crosses they carry, they have divinium. It's a possibility, yeah. It could be because it's been around for so long, for so many centuries, and it's, you know, it's a high tech thing, and you know,
I can see because I know
where his knowledge would come from.
I know that for centuries they do mention that for centuries the church has been hunting down divinium.
Yeah,
and they keep it and smelt it into the weapons that the nuns use.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a season two, if they come across an artifact that maybe is a different source of divinium, like it came from somewhere other than Adriel's armor.
Yeah,
maybe, possibly. I don't know. Like I said, we don't have any background.
And the cage that they made him, Adriel, it was made out of divinium. So, and then also they said when Ava went in there, she said she saw a Tarrasque trying to go in there.
Yeah, so the big almighty the Tarrasque, demon.
Yeah,
he got stuck there, which is curious. So like, again, it goes back to Adriel. Where does he come from? Why are these?
Why did he kill a Tarrasque whenever he first entered into our world, and he was carrying an angel halo, and it's just so many different questions.
And that's another thing too. I noticed who said it. I think it was maybe Ava. They're like, who is he? He's nothing but a thief. Mm-hmm. So if that is actually an angel's halo, where did he get it from?
So many different questions. That we can't answer. I mean, from the season one point of view, we can't answer.
That's
the
thing.
I think
it was Lilith who said that, by the way. Now I think I'm thinking about it. When she confronts him.
The what?
She's like, I know who you are.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're just a thief. Exactly. I remember that. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. When Adriel, speaking of that scene, when Adriel comes out to her, she's all like, or what does he say? What are you? Or you? No, Adriel says, you've been to the other side. And she's all like...
So obviously, Lilith, there's a scene where, you know...
We think she died.
Yeah, so they're battling the Tarrasque. They're trying to get Ava back to the Order. Mary and Lilith are in charge of bringing her back.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Tarrasque shows up.
But let's be honest here. Let's list the facts real quick. Lilith was trying to kill Ava and take away the...
She's good. I can understand.
She was arrogant. She was self-centered. She was... not humble. She just wanted it for her freaking self. Let's get right to it.
I can understand why she got to that point. Because she's been groomed. She's said it many times in the series. Many people in her family over generations have been halo bearers. She was groomed to be the next one, and she wasn't. And she feels like Ava, who's been given the second chance of life, is not grateful for it. Mm-hmm. So I can see why she turns into that killing machine. But... do I agree with it? No. But, you know, the moment where the Tarrasque is about to kill Ava, Lilith does sacrifice herself. the Tarrasque, you know, stabs her and takes her to hell.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. We don't see what happens. Then she comes and appears two more episodes later. It's just like, what the hell just happened?
She comes back, guys.
Yeah. It's weird. I was just like, what the hell?
But she's
yeah.
not.
What the hell? Literally, what the hell? I mean, come on.
But she's not the same.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. What happened to her?
We don't know.
How did she come back? There's so many speculations about Lilith. I know there's a couple points after she comes back where we kind of are like, look,
she has iffy. To be, yeah, she's has to be somewhat of a demon in a sense, because the way the Tarrasque, how they travel into our world, because they traveled the same way she traveled whenever she went to the Vatican. So, I mean, that's the only information facts that we can get out of it. So she has to be some type of demon.
And you see, like, she got stabbed.
And then it heals.
It heals. Yeah. So she has some sort of powers of some sort that she brings back.
Duh. I mean, it has to be.
She has to be. That's the only way to survive coming back from hell, right? So there's a lot of questions. I noticed she's had this long, beautiful, dark, black, brown hair.
Yeah.
But when she comes back, I think she has some strands of gray. Yeah. And then there's a scene where she confronts Adriel and he pushes her with his powers, sends her across the room, and her hair turns completely gray. So I'm curious what that means. Like,
I don't know. So many questions there. But speaking of that, so the fighting scenes were done very well, I would say. Man, they are done very well. Good props to all the fighting, the stunt people.
It looks so effortlessly, but I can never do it. No one.
It's not. It doesn't look effortlessly. It looks like it's a lot of work.
No, but like the nuns, I think there's like this one scene where they're breaking into Julian's lab.
Oh yeah.
As an order to steal the divinium.
Yeah, divinium shield. Yeah.
And you know, I think it was Beatrice who is the one who takes out like 8 grown men. In the hallway, and it just looks so, she does it so with ease, and it just looks so badass. She's great.
Oh yeah, okay, awesome. So then Ava goes up, so we now found it, we find Ava where she was dead. She died, murdered by her, we found that out later. She called that too.
I called it.
She is murdered by her own nun that was supposed to be protecting her.
Yeah, so Ava unfortunately has been paralyzed from the neck down due to a terrible accident. She's been orphaned since she was, I think, what, like 12 or 7?
Yeah.
I think it was 12 years. I think they mentioned that. She was 7 because she's 19 now. So this nun who runs the orphanage, super bitter, super like resents taking care of him and everything. And I called it. I think the first episode we start to see that bitterness. We start to see how things unfold with the old nun from the orphanage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, what if it wasn't?
Yeah, right.
You know, what if she died in the way that the people are not like saying? And I called it. And in the scene where, you know, we find out, I'm like, I knew it. It was great.
Speaking of that, so you caught that. You caught like all the main.
Again, yeah. I do this without being 100% sure. I'm just like, you know, what if this happened?
Because you know, it's like, what, you know, the story's portraying this, but they want you to believe this, but you don't believe it. They want you to believe that Adriel's an angel, but he really is not. And that's the thing. We thought he was an angel the whole freaking time. Yeah, at least say you fell for that. I fell for that. We thought he was an angel.
Even just seeing him when they finally get through his tomb where his bones are supposed to be, and
when he was alive, I was like, oh crap, he's not an angel, something's up. I was like, something's going on, he's not an angel. Because
I thought it was like, okay, he is obviously some sort of being, maybe he is an angel. I believed it. I really did. But again, we don't know what he is. Maybe he is an angel.
He's a devil.
We Googled it, that there is an angel of death in, you know, biblical verses.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's translating to this. He sounds more like he is a devil, because we see in that last scene
Where he brings up the demons.
He summons the wraith demons.
Yes. Possesses Dude, people. Those wraith demons are awesome. Let's admit that. They look freaking great. The Tarrasque looks great. Those demon portions are great. I love that about this series is that the special effects were so on point, so done very well. The drawings are drawn very well. Let's say that too. I mean, it just, yeah, it's very... Oh, man, it's like a Buffy series. It's just as good. The demons look as just as good. And it's weird because, like, it's one of those things to where, you know, it's more CGI, of course, less makeup. But when Buffy was makeup more than, you know, obviously a different time. But it just – it carries that same chemistry, that same charisma, that same tone, that same feeling of just, like, wanting more of this series.
And I think also on another side note, one of the things that we're left with from that last episode – a side story, I know you mentioned side stories, besides the main arc, the story arc, Jillian, the tech, super tech lady,
mm-hmm.
In her own company, she's trying to fuse religion and science, trying to prove that there is a heaven.
Yeah.
She's trying to create this portal this whole time.
Yes.
And I know the church is trying to twist it and say she's trying to create a portal to hell. So I was really unsure what this portal is, for one. But she does have a son who she's infused with divinium. And we find out somehow he's had this connection with Adriel.
Yeah.
So in the very few last, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, yeah. We see Adriel is able to make this portal open. And the boy runs into it.
Whenever Adriel's touching halo.
Like shoves his hand into Ava and like trying to get it out. So.
But remember, the boy is made out of divinium.
He has divinium infused in him. My character Jillian.
Yeah.
She's like a super tech lady. One of her character arcs is she's built this machine that's a portal.
The arc machine.
Right. She wants to prove that there is a heaven. She does explore a little bit more about, you know, parallel universes. Or a hell. So she wants to find this
perfect world
where there's no pain, no death.
Which sounds like a Christian song, if I might add. And it is a Christian song. No more crying. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. But the reason why she's doing this, she's motivated because of her son. She was having trouble bearing children, so she used divinium to create a child, and so her son has divinium infused with him. So he's, you know, throughout...
Which is why we're able to find... Sorry to interrupt you, but which is why how we're able to find out that Adriel is talking to him.
Right, so that's the thing, like, since he's infused with divinium, like, he's somehow connected to Adriel. There's mm-hmm. so many questions, and he speaks... The son speaks... a lot of seeing angel, you know, to his mom. And in the very last, I think, 10, 15 minutes of the last episode, because Adriel is, when he's talking to Ava in this tomb, he, like, puts his hand through her chest and is trying to take back this halo. And in that moment, we see as Jillian and her son are in front of the portal, it somehow opens.
Yes.
It opens to what? We don't know. The son, you know, out of his frustrations, like, I don't want to be a prisoner anymore, runs towards it, disappears.
We don't know.
And so Jillian runs after him, but at that moment...
The portal closes.
The portal closes.
Because of Ava.
And it's gone. So where does that portal go?
Is it heaven? Is it hell?
Is it what Jillian was trying to do? Is it this place that it's neither? It's like a different dimension.
That's what I'm saying. So many questions unanswered. There has to be season two. There's no doubt there is a season two.
Oh, Netflix, please. Season two. I need answers.
Right? I need answers. And then, so going back to the season finale, let's go, you know, when he has to be some type of hell person because, I mean, he, like you said already, he possesses those demons. They come to him and they're able to possess all the people that are gathered there, and they're attacking, as we know, the season finale, right. The last scene of the season freaking scene is just so nail biter, and it's such an inconvenience for the fans, for the series that actually love this series, that are falling for it, that are really intrigued and put their time and effort into the series. You get lost into this world, this realm, and to end like this really pisses you off.
Well, I feel like it's I know I can't compare, but when I watched the end of Infinity War and the way it ended and cut off like that, I think I remember when I saw it a couple times in theaters. Every time, everyone would be like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like,
what?
Did really? I felt more like this the way it cut off in this season because it's literally in the middle of action.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, the Infinity War kind of ending, it kind of sucked. Like, how could it be? How could it end like that?
Mm-hmm.
But it made sense.
Yeah.
I don't, the way it ended in the Warrior Nun season finale, it didn't make sense. I wish, if anything, that last episode could have been a little bit longer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see how that would have without showing the whole battle scene. And I can understand why, because, you know, if to show it, it would add anything could happen easily in 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe explaining things more. So I can see why they cut it that way. But
and I love that too, because at the very end, they come together the last few seconds of the season, and they come together, all the Warrior Nuns, all the four of them that are there. And they come together all like in this life or the next. And then what's her name says it? Your favorite character. Yeah, Mary. She comes out and says it in this life. Or she says, F this, in this life.
Yeah, she's
great. And she goes in, she goes out, shooting. And then out of nowhere, all these demons, they come on her. And that's how it
is.
So
all the possessed onlookers at the Vatican.
Pisses you off.
Just like a zombie movie.
Yeah.
They just swarm her.
Yeah.
And there's you don't see any way that she could escape. And then. Black scene.
That's it.
Credits.
Gone. gone. Yeah. So it's a very nail-biter. I just found this article out literally just right now. It says Netflix has reportedly renewed three of its original shows for the new season. Netflix has reportedly renewed its crime drama Ozark, which is inevitable. Ozark. I mean, come on. That's a great.
Be.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Another good show. You have to continue that too.
Yeah. So. Another good show. As well as granting Warrior Nun and Fate the Winx Saga second season before their first one has even aired. So rumor has it they already granted season two. When is that being filmed? We are not going to know. And if it is going to get filmed because of what's going on with COVID-19, hopefully everyone's staying safe with that issue and everything. We probably won't see it for quite a while because of that.
Probably, which is super frustrating.
Yes.
But again, I feel like a lot of the series that we've seen, we've kind of jumped on it towards the end, like with Game of Thrones. We did not start Game of Thrones season one. We started it right before, I think, season seven.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to wait too much long between each season, which I know people who did start it. They were diehard fans from the very first when it first came out. And they had to wait, about a year or so in between each season. So they were followers. So I feel like we're finally going to get a taste of this. If this does last, not just through season two, but through further, we're gonna have to wait for it, and that's
gonna be a while.
Super frustrating.
I know next year is gonna be crazy, especially, you know, with all the movie changes and everything. So it's gonna be crazy. But going back into this world and everything, I want to see more. I want to see hell. I want to see hell.
I'm curious where they would go.
Yeah,
so if Adriel is a devil, could it be the
Are they going to explore where he came from?
Where he came from. If we do see that, would we see heaven too?
Yeah, that's a good question right there. And I hope we do. I really do hope we do. We saw heaven and hell in, what was that other series on Amazon Prime?
I think it was The Good Omen.
The Good Omen. There you go. Yes. The Good Omen.
So
we saw both sides, which is kind of funny.
Really funny because it had
a good comic relief.
One of the doctors from Doctor Who. He was great. But it was kind of funny.
So I want to see heaven and hell, not in the funny way. I want to see it in the violent tone way that they have portrayed already. They already set the tone. I want to see that.
That's something also I think that was very surprising with this. It's pretty violent. Some of the scenes,
good violent.
Some of the scenes when they show, I think, the flashbacks with Ariola, the first warrior
it's
nun.
It's gutty. It's
great. Yeah. It's awesome. It's that. Those are good battle scenes. So I would like to see where that continues. Is it going to be the same kind of violence, graphic? Is it going to be darker the second season? If we do see it.
I want it to be darker. Yes, please. More darker.
I know, like I said, I can't compare. When I saw Sabrina, the reboot on Netflix, it did get darker as seasons went on. So I kind of would like to see that too.
Yep.
As we get through.
And we know Netflix ain't shy about that. So
but it was great.
Yeah. All right. So we'll give your final rating once again. What was your rating?
I would give it a solid 8.
I'm gonna give it an what the heck? Oh yeah, I'm gonna give it an 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So you changed it. So you went down one.
Oh wait, I give it a 9, right? I don't even remember when I gave it. I give it a 9. Okay, yeah, I give it a 9. Sorry, I give it a 9. I don't remember, but yeah, I give it a 9, and I stand behind that. I'm going to stand behind it because I loved it. It was just had that rich mythology feel, that rich, you know, biblical
feel.
Which was
interesting. I love that about it. I like that. So I like Greek mythology because, you know, it's really interesting. And I don't know too much about it. The same thing with, like, biblical mythology. Yeah. Same thing. It's just a mystery to me
because
I don't know too much about those themes. So I liked reading. So it makes me want to read more into it.
Yeah. All right, guys. If you haven't already, give us a thumbs up on our reaction / review, guys. Thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Thank you for staying with us this long. If you have, if you're listening to us on our podcast as well, be sure to check us out on our podcast, Apple, iTunes, wherever podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe to us as well on there. And be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube, guys. We thank you all for your continued support in all this. Hopefully, everyone's staying safe with COVID-19, guys. Once again, as always, I am your host, Ryan D, aka Ryan 680.
I'm Angela, that cat lady Ange.
That my crazy cat lady wife, that cat lady Ange. All right, have a good one, guys. Hope you're staying safe, and stay safe, San Antonio. Hello, everyone. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We truly appreciate the support. Be sure to also check us out on YouTube, guys, where we do strictly movie reviews. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all of your movie news, reviews, and our special giveaways and contests, guys. You know what to do, and you have yourself a wonderful day, and stay classy, San Antonio.